Welcome to the Guitar Freaks Podcast, where we turn beginning guitar players into guitar freaks. This podcast is sponsored by Fret Deck. And now your host, Justin Comstock.
Welcome to the Guitar Freaks Podcast. This is your host, Justin Comstock. I am pumped today to have the band, The Jacks, here. What is up, fellas?
How's it going? We're pumped as well.
Yeah. We're gonna have a rocking time. We have Tom and Johnny from The Jacks here with us today. We're going to talk some serious guitar, and we're going to talk about their latest release on iTunes and anywhere you guys can find download music. You probably can find your album. So we're going to talk about their latest release, and I'm very excited to learn more about you guys and what you guys do. You guys just have some rocking music. I was listening to you guys over the weekend with my kids. We were just rocking out to you guys in the car, and it was a blast. My kids were singing to you guys' songs, and you know you guys are writing catchy songs when little kids can sing to them. So I think that's great. You guys obviously have some skill with songwriting, and it's been fun listening to you guys' EPs. I want to know what's your guys' story. How did you guys form this band? Tell me your story.
Yeah. So we probably formed, 4 years ago now, maybe 4.5. Me and the bassist Scott Stone, were playing together in some cover bands kind of growing up and all that. And, we played at school together in college, and, Scott was running sound for like an open mic night, and Johnny was singing and playing acoustic there. And we heard him and thought he was pretty good, and kind of like out of a movie, we're like, hey, you want to be in a band? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And we started learning just cover songs, and, you know, played some kind of like house parties and stuff like that. Just very informal, you know, just kind of having fun with it. And then kept playing. And eventually I think Johnny showed Scott a song that he wrote, like an original song. And Scott was all fired up. He's like, dude, you got to listen to this song. And Scott, like, you know, gets excited about things. So I was like, okay, like, sure, it's great, Scott. And then I heard it, and it was like, it was really good. So I think that kind of planted the seed that maybe we could do something with this. And then we started, you know, working on more original music, just kept playing the like cover bar or dive bars and cover shows to make some extra money. We played a ton around like Orange County and LA, and just kind of every live opportunity we could get. And we did that for a while. And then our original drummer decided to move on and do other things. So we caught, or within a couple months went by, and we found Josh. And Josh joined, let's say, 3 years ago. I don't remember the dates exact, but around 3 years ago. And then we submitted our song to like a KLOS Next to Rock competition, and ended up playing and then like winning our regionals for that. And they gave us a record contract, and we were all excited. And then we showed it to some people in the industry that we knew and trusted, and they said, hey, like, this is good, but we're actually starting a label, you know, next year if you guys want to wait. So we ended up waiting and going with them on that journey, and that was beginning of 2019. So we signed with Edge Out Records at the in January 2019, and since then we've released that first EP, mm-hmm. and then Remember You, a Christmas song, and, you know, toured a bunch, yeah. had a bunch of crazy experiences, and it's been absolutely wild ride, but we're just getting started.
That's awesome. So before all this craziness, were you guys doing a lot of gigs, going on tour and stuff? Did you guys have a tour scheduled?
Oh yeah, we had a tour scheduled for the spring when we released our EP, and then it kind of got pushed back, and now it's postponed to the fall, but it's probably gonna get canceled just because everything has been kind of ramping up again. So it'll be probably next year when we really start touring again.
Okay. Well, good. We'll start talking about your album, but I kind of want to know, who were your influences that kind of pointed you guys in the direction of writing the songs that you're writing now? Who influenced you guys?
I think it's tough. There's a lot of like really good influences and like a lot of different bands, I think, that we all kind of like. For me personally, I listen to a lot, like the Beatles are my favorite band, so definitely the Beatles. And you know, some of the old school stuff I actually didn't really dive into until later, like, you know, like the Stones, besides the Beatles. Like, you know, I didn't really dive into the Stones that much, or like Zeppelin, you know, until kind of later on. But like other bands that I really liked were like Oasis and like the Black Keys and Cage the Elephant, Muse, the Strokes, kind of bands that are, you know, are a little more modern. And then kind of the classic stuff, I think we all kind of bonded over later on. Like, you know, Scott's a huge Who fan, and like, you know, Pink Floyd and all those bands. So
yeah, it sounds like you guys listen to a lot of rock and roll.
Yeah. For me, it was kind of the opposite. I was like, my favorite band growing up was Zeppelin. I thought like they were literally just the beginning and end of music. Like it was just like they were like the absolute best. And I almost like shut myself off to other stuff until later on when I started listening. But it was all kind of classic rock. It was like, yes. But then I loved the Beatles, loved Pink Floyd and like the Eagles and stuff like that. And then I think later on, maybe, you know, in high school, I kind of discovered like when like the Killers were releasing music, I was like Killers, Black Keys, Arctic Monkeys. And then later I got into like Cage the Elephant. And like more recently, even Portugal the Man, and maybe the Strokes. But like it took me kind of, you know, I feel like I was obsessed with the classic rock stuff, and then I started listening to other stuff. And now I feel like we listen to everything. Like we'll listen to Top 40 and get inspiration from that, and we'll listen to, you know, deep cuts off bands' debut albums that no one's heard. Like we're trying to just, you know, listen to everything and draw inspiration from everything at this point.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, when I first started, I started, you know, with classic rock and listening and learning guitar with classic rock. And I kind of went backwards. I went like back into like old blues and then jazz and stuff. And I'm like, whoa, I just have like an old soul. So no, it's great that you guys listen to a lot of different types of music and pull inspiration from that. Let's talk about, I want to talk about your album. Remember You. It's a rockin' album. So for those that are listening, go download it right now, because it's just rocks. The guitar work on it is just fantastic. I love it. What has been some of the inspiration behind that EP? I want to know about it. Let's what inspired you to write some of these songs?
I'd say the inspiration was kind of pretty varied throughout each song, you know, because it was never written as like a cohesive piece. Yep. It was just kind of this, like some of our favorite songs that we had at that time that, you know, got grouped together. But yeah, the songs on it vary from like Just a Little Bit was one of the original songs that we wrote, I would say 4 to 5 years ago. That was actually the song that got us on that KLOS competition that I mentioned earlier. But we never, you know, fully felt like that recording served the song well. And so we ended up redoing it with the producer on that EP was Joe Ciccarelli, who absolutely nailed it and like had so many good insights into our music and how to like, you know, to push the envelope a little bit and kind of put us out of our comfort zone. And, you know, it was cool. Like, for example, that song, that was an older song that we got to revamp with Joe.
Yeah.
Threw It All Away was a new song that we got to, you know, so it's like they came from different like time periods throughout the band. They came in different forms of like, you know, Olivia's acoustic. We Were Only Young is more of, you know, like a semi acoustic, like, I don't know, indie ballad or something.
It gets rocking towards the end. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, so I feel like it touches on a lot of different like flavors, and you get a lot of different like experiences listening to it.
Yeah. Tell me more about Olivia, because that song has just been stuck in my head all weekend. Give me more details on that song. What were some of the reasons you wrote that song and the inspiration behind that song?
I think Olivia might be my favorite song we've ever released.
It's a great song.
The way it was written was, I think it was just on acoustic guitar. Actually, funny enough, I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was the Ramble On chords for on acoustic guitar.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
In reverse. I remember like jamming on that like DE thing. And then and then me and Johnny were just like trying to write one day. I was like, what do you think of this? And then I think, yeah, maybe the chords were worked out, and then he came back with like the whole top line in the lyrics and all that. And I feel like that was a really painless song to write. Like it happened pretty much instantly. And it just like worked. It was just like, oh, this is really cool. And then we played it acoustic at a couple, you know, a couple of radio shows or something, just really stripped down Shaker, Cajon, and two acoustic guitars. And we got like tons of good feedback from it.
So awesome.
And I feel like that song kind of crept up on us. It was never like, oh, let's write the perfect acoustic song. It just existed. And then it kind of worked its way into our never like our live band set, though. Always acoustic. So,
yeah, it's a great song. I love it. It's just, I mean, it's been stuck in my head all day. So I just, I don't know, if for all of our listeners, if you have not downloaded their album yet, go do it. Pause the podcast and go download their album on iTunes. It's great. Great. Let's talk about some of the guitars you guys used in recording some of these songs. Your first song on the EP, what type of guitars do you guys use?
Yeah, I mean, I think we use
that guy, yeah, a lot.
My 335.
I guess the podcast people can't see it, but we'll show it to you.
That's okay.
Yeah, 96 Tobacco Burst got on Reverb.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
This is Johnny's. I'm pretty jealous.
This is mine.
That's a fantastic. There's just something special about a Gibson ES-335.
Yeah, this is my main guitar, and then
this is
my Les Paul that I use. These are mainly like our live guitars that we just kept using on the record. You know, they sounded good.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So we kind of went with that, and then there was a couple other guitars that we had lying around for different overdubs and stuff. But I would say the majority of the guitars were done like in the tracking phase when we were recording. And yeah, a lot of it was like that ES-335 through like a Vox AC-30.
Okay.
And
I think, what was that one acoustic one we used? That was Collins. Remember that?
Yeah. Old, yeah. And that
then, was, okay.
For Olivia, we used one of our friend, Colin Phillips, shout out. He brought in like his vintage Gibson or something. I want to say it was a J45, but I actually don't know exactly what model it was. But it was like a 60s Gibson that just sounded cool. I think Johnny played that on like the main acoustic track.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Olivia's acoustic hat was that like vintage Gibson acoustic.
So freaking awesome. You guys are Gibson guys. I like it. I am too.
I don't know how it happened, but all of a sudden we just like all played, because Scott played a P bass on that, I think, on that whole record, but he played a Gibson SG bass for the longest time.
Yeah.
So Gibson's across the stage.
That's like, awesome.
We're gonna get sponsored or what? Like,
come on, Gibson.
We're just backing you so hard right now. But yeah, there was a bunch of, you know, parts on, in, like we played a bass six on some parts and a 12 string. Like, you know, once you get into the overdub phase, you can get pretty creative with little intricate parts. And Joe like was huge into pedals. So he had like a huge, I brought a bunch of pedals and he had a bunch of pedals. So we were just playing around with all that stuff. Just getting different sounds and different mics on different amps and all that.
Oh, I love it. So you guys like to use Vox and Gibson. What are some of the pedals that you used on the album?
I use this like Roger Mayer fuzz for a lot of things.
Oh, cool.
Kind of a weird, I mean, Roger Mayer is pretty famous, but
it's like
an Encore treble booster fuzz thing. I use that a lot. We used a lot of like the Eventide kind of like harmonic pitch shifter things he had.
Yeah.
I think the H9 does all of it, but like
The
older boxes that are like kind of larger, and there's like a blue and red one. I honestly forget, but it was a lot of that. Lots of different fuzz pedals and stuff.
Very cool.
I had a couple. I have a couple like weird fuzz pedals that I've gotten over the years, and then Joe had like I honestly had to look. I took a bunch of pictures of everything, but
there's
one of those things where you're like a kid in a candy shop, like plug stuff in on the ground, like wires everywhere, and then all right, that works, and then we just move on and then repatch in a bunch of stuff. So lots of them. Yeah, the main amp was we used his like deluxe, his deluxe reverb for a lot of the pedal stuff. And then I have this like 1965 Supra Thunderbolt that it's like a single 15 inch. And it sounds very unique and good at like a couple things. And then, you know, but sometimes it craps out on you, but yeah, so that made it on the record a lot too. And so
awesome.
There's an infinite amount of combinations of all
the stuff. Oh yeah. I mean, you could just just with pedals, you can get lost.
Oh, yeah.
In the world of pedals, like there's just so much you can add to, you know, your amps and stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just fun stuff. But yeah, I just love talking about amps and pedals and guitars. It's just it's just fun.
What are you playing?
So I play a Les Paul. I just bought a Les Paul, a gold top Les Paul. It kicks ass.
Oh yeah.
So I'm a blues player, so I play a lot of blues. But
either humbuckers or
It's got humbuckers in it.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I play the Gibson ES-335. It's the red dot. It's just you can't go wrong with the 335.
Yeah.
And I play a lot of blues, and I just love BB King and stuff. So I can get a lot of those sounds out. But I also have a Gibson SG as well. I'm a Gibson guy, guys.
So. Yeah. Okay.
But I play all three of those a lot, and I have a Martin acoustic guitar that I like to play, but. I interviewed Matt Richards who makes square amps. He makes amps out of old radios from like the 1930s and 40s. He finds them, guts them out, and turns them into tube amps. And I just bought one of his amps. It's from 1939. It's an old radio from 1939 that he turned into like a Tweed amp. So he's shipping that out to me this Thursday. So I'm kind of excited to mess around with that, get some old blues sounds and stuff. But yeah, so it's a very unique amp because, you know, he only finds certain types and can turn them into amps. And nobody else has it. So, and he just messaged me today. Yeah. He's like, you're the only one in Utah that has this amp. I'm like, hell yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to start using that with some of my recordings and stuff. But no, I love that you guys are Gibson guys. It's so awesome. Gibson just makes a great guitar sound.
Especially live, just with all combination of the Les Paul and the S335, it just ends up being so like meaty, you know.
Yeah, there's a reason why I have both of those guitars. So with some of you guys' techniques when you guys are writing guitar parts, how do you guys go about that when how do you guys collaborate with each other as two guitar players in a band?
I don't even really know.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of times it I'm trying to think, you know, how it happened on that EP, but like if Johnny writes a song, a lot of the times I think that both the guitar parts will be like, it's part of like the songwriting process. It's not like we have a song and then it's like, oh, let's come up with some guitar parts now. You know, it's very integral at like the early stages. So, sometimes it's collaborative where it's, you know, we're jamming and, you know, there'll be like different voicings that all play and it's just kind of just in the background. And sometimes it'll be, you know, like a main guitar riff, but that'll be integrated in it, like for Through It All Away, like the ta, it's like, we didn't add that on after the song was written. That was like part of the foundation of the songwriting, you know?
Yeah.
So a lot of the times, like the songwriter will come up with even, you know, two, three guitar parts in the initial kind of creation phase.
Sure.
And that's what kind of makes it cohesive and make it all work together. And then from there, it's like, you know, as we're working on the song, it's like, hey, that part's not actually working. How about this voicing, you know, or like this kind of sound, or like maybe we want this rhythm out of the guitar panned right and that kind of stuff. And then we start exploring with ways to kind of mess around with it. But I would say like 80% of the initial guitar ideas are done like in the first burst of the original song, you know?
Yeah. Cool. And then who writes the lyrics for you guys' songs? Do both of you guys write, or?
I would say Johnny does like the vast majority of lyrics. Sometimes like anybody in the band will, you know, throw in suggestions and all that. But in terms of like the whole storyline, I mean, you should probably talk more about that, but.
I have a question for you, Johnny. How do you stay in a creative space when you're writing lyrics for your songs? How do you stay in a creative space? What do you do?
I mean, that's the question of the day. That's what I think we're trying to figure out. You know, I think every day, you know, I think it can change, and like a lot of, you know, sometimes like when we're on tour, things are very inconsistent, you know, and it's kind of crazy. And now things are a lot more consistent. But yeah, I mean, I think the best lyrics come when you're like, you know, like really kind of close to the song, like when you're kind of currently writing the song.
Sure.
You know, I think that's where the most of the lyrics come. And then, you know, usually I'll write lyrics last, so I'll have to kind of go back and write it to the melodies.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to kind of get back in that space of like, okay, let me get like into the vibe of the song and kind of try to feel what I think the song should be feeling, you know, lyrically, and then kind of write it over the melodies. Because, yeah, usually I would say 95% of the time I'll do melodies first.
Okay. So it's
like, I'll write the lyrics, and then I'll do kind of like gibberish over those melodies, and then maybe like 50% of those will end up kind of staying just as kind of anchor words, and then the rest I'll kind of write around it to make it like make sense, kind of.
Yeah. Very cool. I did an interview with a flamenco guitarist, Otmar Liebert, about a month ago, and I asked him, I'm like, what, cause he just does strictly instrumental music. And I'm like, dude, what do you do to stay in that creative space? Cause it's, sometimes it's hard to just always be there. You're not always there. Right. And he's like, you know what I do, Justin? He's like, I read a lot of books, and I you know, imagine, you know, different places through words. And that helps me stay in a musical creative space. So I'm like, wow, how interesting. He did something creative to stay in that creative space.
Yeah.
A different thing outside of music, right? He did something creative outside of music to stay in that creative space. So it's just, I've always been fascinated by what other people do to stay in that. Because it's a special space. Obviously, it sounds like you guys get a big burst of creativity on the music side and the lyric side in the initial phase of songwriting. So I'm just, it's just, I've always fascinated about how people stay in that space, because it's important for your guys' career, right? To stay creative, right? That's all you guys do is dealing with creativity all the time, both on the music side and on the songwriting and lyric side. So it's just, I don't know, it's just always fascinated me what people do to stay in that space. Anyway, I want to know, what new projects are you guys working on? If it's a tour, any new albums, any music videos, what new stuff are you guys working on?
Well, tour's probably not going to happen this fall. So
Which sucks, because everybody wants to go to concerts. I'm dying.
Yeah, it's a huge bummer, but you know, it makes sense. But yeah, you know, we're basically trying to release an album, a full length album, which will be our first full length at the beginning of next year. So we've been working on new songs for that, and just you know, just trying to basically just write as many songs as possible and keep up with kind of, you know, like live streams and social media stuff. While we can do that on the digital end, but the main kind of goal is going to be an album at the beginning of next year. So we're pretty excited about that.
Awesome. I'm excited too. I'm excited to hear some new material from you guys. You mentioned some live streams. Are you guys doing like a consistent live streams at all, or are you doing any live streams at all? Cause I want to watch you guys play.
We've been doing some acoustic ones. Actually, we're trying to figure out right now how to live stream like a multi-track session from the whole band playing, you know? So if anyone out there listening knows how to do that, hit us up and let us know. But yeah, we've been doing a bunch of acoustic stuff and like interviews and stuff like that going live, but not full band,
sure.
You know, like full rock set, so.
Sure. Well, you guys are probably gonna go live like on Facebook or Instagram, one of those two platforms?
Yeah. Probably like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Sometimes we'll go live with like a a provider that does all of them at the same time.
Like, okay.
Like a company, and they'll have all that covered, like even like Twitch.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media. What are you guys' social media handles?
Yeah, our Instagram is probably the best place to start with everything, but that's just the Jax. That's the name of the band, the J-A-C-K-S. And then, on Twitter, on YouTube, and, Facebook, if you search the Jax, you should see our logo. And I think I think everything is just the Jax. I think on Twitter, it's like __ the Jax or something. But
our website's the jaxofficial.com.
Yeah. And in between all those, it should be, everything should be updated. Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes. You can find us there in the Jax. And
awesome. Go check out their music. They have awesome rock and guitar music. I love it. I'd like to, thank you guys for coming on the podcast again. This was a blast. I love talking with you guys. When you guys release your next album, you guys have a home here. You're welcome back here to come and talk about it. I'd love to dig into the songs that you guys write and what you guys are doing, what equipment you're using.
I'll write it all down next time. I'll
be like, Oh yeah. This is exactly, we got to let Justin know. I'd like to remind our listeners to follow us on the Guitar Freaks Facebook group. You can find us there, and you can find us also on Instagram. Follow us there, and I'm always posting stuff about everybody that comes on the podcast. And you guys, thanks for coming on. This was a blast. I love talking about all the music that you guys are creating. So thanks for coming on again. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. Love the guitar energy.
Yeah. Rock on, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Guitar Freaks podcast. Check out www.fretdeck.com to help you learn the guitar.